The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
And while I was in Germany, I was thinking about what I was going to preach, and I told my wife, I said, I feel like the Lord is declaring something through this song. And it's not, I was even struggling to find things for you to be able to write down because there was an unction from the Spirit of God for you to grab hold of it. And so I may not even have the eloquence of a rhythm of my points this morning. But what I do know is that God wants you to hear this song and what is on my sheets of paper and apply it to your life because it shall be. So if by some chance you go, I have no clue what I'm supposed to write down today, it's okay. Because what God wants to declare to you is just one thought, but I just want to show you what it's going to require of you. Is that all right? You better say it. Come on. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 12. Verse 27 says this. It's a weird text, but I'm going to use it. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate. Everybody say celebrate. The dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and strings, instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of that place that's hard to name, from the house of Gilgal and from the fields of Geba and the other place that's hard to name. For the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. This is Nehemiah speaking. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went on the right hand of the wall toward the refuse gate. After them went Hoshea and half of the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, hard names, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the priests, sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph. All of those names that you see are all coming to this Thanksgiving event. Verse 36, and his brethren and the other three names there, they came with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. They were able to find the instruments that David used, and they brought them with them to this party. Y'all okay? I'm leaving out a lot of names because I don't want to fumble on them. Ezra the scribe went before them. Verse 37. By the fountain gate in front of them, they went up the stairs of the city of David on the stairway of the wall beyond the house of David as far as the water gate eastward. Then the other Thanksgiving choir went the opposite way. And I was behind them and half of the people on the wall going past the Tower of the Ovens as far as the broad wall and above the gate. They're moving all of these people around. Now skip down to 40. And so the two Thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. Likewise, I and half of the rulers with me, and the singers sang loudly as they were directed. Verse 43, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. A lot of reading. A lot of reading. And you might be going, why? The reason why I read you all of that text, skipped over all of those names, is because I wanted you to be able to think through this thought, and then you can hear this song, we should celebrate.
Y'all know it's going to be hard to just sit there and not clap your hands. You know it. Now,
in the story that I read to you, it says that there was a party and Nehemiah looks at all the people. He says the wall of God has been completed. He says, now the party we're going to throw is not going to be small. He said, I want you to come. I want you to invite all your cousins, all your friends. He lists about 10, 15, 20, 30 names. And he says, bring all of your community. I want all of the Levites. I want this community to come. He says, now what I want at this party is I want two large choirs, and then I want a band. And in my band, I want some cymbals, I want some trumpets, I want some horns, I want some strings instruments, because this season has shifted. Because in Nehemiah chapter 1, the story begins with Nehemiah being a cupbearer for the king. And while he's serving the king, the story comes at his beloved city, Jerusalem. The walls have fallen down, and the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1 that the people were greatly distressed and troubled. Different than Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah gets the story back to him, and he goes to his boss, and he says, boss, my beloved city is broken down. His boss looks at him and says, go back to your city. He says, God has put something on my heart to rebuild the broken places and the people of my city. So he goes back, and he takes with him in chapter 2, he takes a letter, and he takes some materials, and as he goes into the city, he tells the elders of the city, he says, God is about to change this season. You have been heartbroken. You have been dreaming less than the protection of your life. The walls have been down. You've been wondering if this is the way it's going to be forever. And he says, I'm standing in front of you to declare to you that if you and I will take one step from where we are, we can rebuild this whole city. So the Bible says in chapter 2, verse chapter 3, 4, 5, you keep it going. It says that all of the people say, Nehemiah, based on the word of God that's in your heart, let's rebuild. So it says that the people had a mind to work. So they all start grabbing what they were good at. Some were good at masonry. Some were good at bringing materials that could be melted down. Some were good at guarding as they were building. But whatever it was, the Bible says that they had a mind to work. And it says that as they begin to build the wall in chapter 3, they went from gate to gate to gate. They built the sheep gate back. They built the fish gate back, the dung gate back, the valley gate, the one that led to the fountain. They built that. And it said that they began to build the wall. So what had started off as a season of being broken, a season of less dreaming, a season of, God, are you going to do it for me? One person comes along, and instead of saying, I can do it all by myself, he says, what would happen if we did it? So the same people who were stuck in a rut were now helping rebuild their life. One person could have said, I'll do it on my own. But he goes and grabs the broken person and says, you have a vital part to play in what God is doing in this season. So they all are excited. In chapter 3, they're starting to rebuild gates and walls. In chapter 4, the enemy says, wait a second, they've shifted their mindset. And he sent two people, Sanballat and Tobiah. And they began to talk and say, you really think you're going to rebuild this wall? This wall has taken forever. Do you think that it's going to go up tomorrow? And the story says that Nehemiah wouldn't even respond to them. He began to ignore them. Can I tell you that where you are right now, the enemy is not satisfied with your God potential. And the minute you decide to build what God has put on the inside of you, he will attack. And he always starts it through something that is mental. Can you do it? I don't know. It's too big for you. Yes, it is. You're unqualified. I know I am. You don't have the resources. Tell me that. I see it. He will always attack you the minute you decide to build what is broken or what is in front of you. Chapter 4. Chapter 5, Nehemiah says, pay no attention to them. Pay no mind to them. Keep building and build more intents. And the story goes on and says, so now they're building the wall. They're focused. Nehemiah gets to the people. He says, how are you doing? And the people say, Nehemiah, we're running with you, but we have to tell you something. There's still areas of our life that's broken. Well, tell me. We're building the wall, but we have no money. We've mortgaged our land because the walls were falling down and we needed to survive. Nehemiah moves with compassion. He says, everybody, stop the way you've been living. Stop stealing from each other. This is going to be a season of harvest for every single person in our community. So he shuts down the whole system and says, we not only are rebuilding what's natural, we're rebuilding your mindset. We're rebuilding the way you harvest. It's not just going to be for one. It's going to be for our whole community. Chapter 5. Chapter number 6. Sanballat and Tobiah decide that the first attack wasn't good enough. So they said, we're going to bring a guy by the name of Gershom. Here's what happened. Now, I can't re-preach it, but if you will listen to the Building a Better Life series that we have on the City Place Church podcast, which is available on iTunes. I preached on Sanballat and Tobiah last year in Gershom, and I found that these three dudes were people from three different communities. Outside of the community, and they surrounded the community. And when you look up who they are, I thought it was going to be like dirtbag, sewage dweller, and they had names that meant like God is for us. And it showed me that there are church people who look the part but don't want me to be all that God has called me to be. The other type of person was, it says that Gershom, his name meant rain. And that showed me that even the negative rain of my life can produce a harvest in my life. Because the rain is always sent to grow something. So many times I can look and I can see the rain. Oh, it's raining. I can't go outside. But my grass is going, thank you for the rain. I'm going, the rain is holding me back. The rain is trying to box me in. I can't go swimming. I got these kids yelling. I done screamed at them over and over again. Sit down. I want to get out this house and I can't. But the rain, that which I thought was going to stop me, was actually sent to cause me to grow. That was Gershom. The other one lived outside of the community, but he blended in, so people actually thought that he was a part of the community. So there are some people who will roll with you and they look the part, but they don't live in your neighborhood and not supposed to be there. I have an HOA in my community. If you park your car on the wrong side of the street or you turn that tire and you put it on the grass, you will have a sticker because you don't belong there. So many times in our life, we allow people, situations to stay because it looks normal to us when actually you don't live here. You don't pay that $99 a month that gives me the right to the swimming pool, so don't be putting your tire on my grass. Anybody else feel like that whenever somebody? Why are you walking in my neighborhood? You don't live here. Got your headphones on, walking around here. You don't live here. Stop loitering. Anybody else? That's what the enemy does. He starts off friendly. Hey, good morning, Johnson family. And you're like, I never see them come out of their garage. You talk to them one day. No, I don't live here. I live in the community over. Just walking. You're not supposed to be here. I tie that to your life when you're pursuing your goals and your dreams and your God purpose and you're trying to rebuild a whole city and your life. Don't let that which is not supposed to be in your neighborhood stay. So, watch now. In chapter number 7, chapter number, y'all like that? Watch. In chapter 6, the opposition comes. This time, instead of ignoring them, Nehemiah says, I tell you what we're going to do. All right, get my band together. He says, I want some people, line up with the trumpets. At the sound of the trumpet, if we need to kill somebody, we will. So it says that he puts warriors to be on the lookout. And this is what the Bible says. It said that they had a worker's tool in one hand and a weapon on their hip. So that when it came time that if the enemy attacked, the work didn't stop, but they sacrificed the enemy. They didn't allow the enemy to stay. So can I tell you in your life, when you're pursuing your God dream, you have the ability to keep working and to eliminate your enemy all at the same time. Say what? I just got through watching Rogue One, and there was a blind guy in Rogue One. And in Rogue One, the guy was just walking. He would take one step, and there would be bullets, and he'd go like this. He'd go. Sometimes when you can't see God, you just have to wait to be able to hear him. But you keep working. Shoot now. That's where that devotional time with God comes in. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Y'all all right? I hear y'all talking back a little bit. I like it. Good thing we did those calisthenics. So chapter 7, after the people have been positioned, he's like, y'all keep working. He says, now what I need to do is I need to get a count. Okay, you in that community, you in this community. Okay, you play in the band, all right, you work on the field. The reason why I'm getting a count is because once we finish with this, our city needs to run and it needs to function so that it's not just we just finish the wall, we cheer ourselves on. No, we're about to be all that God's called us to be. We're never going to go back. So he counts all the people and he puts them in position. That's chapter 7. Chapter number 8, there I go again. He says this, watch this. Chapter 8, he looks at the people in verse 10 and he says, then Nehemiah said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send the portions unto them whom have nothing that is prepared. Remember, everybody's going to have harvest. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, the season that you were in the past, where when it was tough, you stayed there. But now give everybody food, because the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. So he tells them this in 8. Speed to 12. He tells them in 8, get ready, go eat. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When we get to 12, he tells everybody it's time to party. Reason why is because what it had taken them years to build the first time, when all of the people, those who were broken, busted and disgusted, when they all got involved, it took them 52 days to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. It's going to take another 3 years to finish I-4. Imagine the mayor going, I need every citizen in Orlando to work a shift. I need everybody to work one shift. That which would take to 2020 would be done in less time, because there's 2 million people that if we all decided that we were going to rebuild the environment of our life, if we all got together and said, what could we do together? If I built your dream, spoke life into you, I could accomplish what I see quicker. So they rebuilt a whole city. Lives were rebuilt in 52 days. So Damon, what is it that you're trying to tell me? I am trying to tell you that as Nehemiah pulled all of the people together, he declared to them, it is a season to celebrate. I'm declaring to you from God himself that it is your season to celebrate. Hear me. God is bringing you into a season of celebration. No. Hear me. Because I'm telling you, it's not a pointed message. It is a declaration. This will be a season to celebrate. It is your season, watch now, to celebrate good times. Let me walk you through the lyrics of this historical prophetic song. Watch. There's a party going on right here. Feels like a poet. A celebration, watch now, to last throughout the years. Watch. What type of party normally doesn't end at some time? When God starts something, in Ecclesiastes says when he does it forever. Can I tell you that God is putting you in a season? Well, it will not stop. It's crazy. I know it's crazy because you're thinking, watch now, you're thinking problems will come. The rain came, Nehemiah's story, but they still partied in chapter 12. The wall was still built quicker in chapter 12. I'm here to tell you that you are in a season of celebration. I know it seems crazy because life has shot you, taking things from you, but it is your season to celebrate. Y'all are still, I think this is sounding like a motivational speech, and it is not that. It is not a motivational speech. I'm telling you, God is shifting your mindset, your thought process from, watch, and some of us have been dealt the worst blows of our life. But God is declaring to you, and I know some of your stories, so I'm not trying to walk across it and be insensitive, but I felt like I could see your faces as I was preparing for this message. God wants you to know that this is going to be your season of celebration. Your season of celebration. And here it is. The power of this season is one in which it will last throughout the years. The walls of Jerusalem still stand today. People will travel to Jerusalem as I'm speaking because they want to see where Jesus walked. The season that you're in is a season in which God says to you, he has shifted it. He has shifted it, and it's time for you to celebrate. I feel like preaching. That's what a preacher says, and that's my own amen. Watch. It says here in the songs, I know it sounds crazy, there's a party going on right here. Can I tell you that in the atmosphere of heaven, there is a celebration for your destiny in this new season. There is an atmosphere in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, it says that when you pray, you want heaven to be here. And so if heaven is partying, and if God sees good things for you, then if heaven is partying, then I want earth to party too. So there's a party going on right here. The type of celebration that God has for you is one that won't stop at midnight. It won't begin at 2 when you arrive. It is one that if you will focus on it, it can last you from now to December to 2018 to 2019. I'm here to declare again, it's your season to celebrate. Watch. So if this is my season to celebrate, what do I need to do? I need to declare the season. Job 22 says, you shall decree or declare a thing, and it will be established for you. It's one thing for God to say it. It's another thing for you to believe it and do it. Jesus, the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. What if I don't want to? I just ask you to stretch it out. Stretches out his hand, healed. What can I do for you? I'm blind. Yeah, I got you. Thank you for confessing that you wanted your blindness gone. In order to celebrate all year, you have to declare the season. Janice Booth said this. She said, to celebrate life on a daily basis is a way to develop an attitude of gratitude that can literally transform our outlook on life and our ability to more deeply enjoy what we already have. So you mean to tell me that if I can turn this party into something that doesn't go on, I can make my party last for a year for what I already have? I'm just trying to declare what God said to me. So if I'm going to declare it, you have to say it until you first believe it. Celebrate good time. Come on. Celebrate good time. Come on. Did you notice that they didn't just say, celebrate good time? Next verse. They kept saying, celebrate good time. Come on. Y'all know what? Sometimes you have to say it. You have to say it until you believe it. I showed up at this party. I'm going to have a good time. They done said it 38 times on the song. Over and over again. Celebrate good time. Come on. Celebrate good time. Come on. Sometimes you have to say it until you believe it. It says that David in 1 Samuel 30. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, but he started off greatly distressed. I don't know about you. In my toughest moments, it doesn't take me one time. Damon, God's for you. All right. No, sometimes I'm like, Damon, God's for you. Damon, God's for you. Damon, God's for you. Damon, God's for you. Damon, it's your season. City Place Church is going to make an impact. The people of City Place Church are going to grow. Their dreams are going to come alive. I have to do that every single day. Why? Because I got to encourage myself, because I've got to say it so that I can believe it. Tell yourself, say, celebrate good times. Come on. If I'm going to say it and believe it, I have to say it until I receive it. David started off, God, you're good. God, you're able. God, I believe you can do it. Then all of a sudden, the story finishes by saying that he encouraged, meaning that he accomplished it. He encouraged. It didn't say David was encouraging himself in the Lord. Said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord, which meant that once he could see it and believe it, he received it. Final thing is you believe it, you receive it, and then you have to see it. You have to see yourself having a party throughout the year. So how do I see it? In order to be able to celebrate all year and be able to see it, you have to recall it. You have to load up and bring your good times. It says, so bring your good times. So bring your good times. So the party started, you bring your good times. What? Back in the day when the party was started, I need to show up because the party had already began. But you mean to tell me that in order for this party to last throughout the years, I bring my good times, you bring your good times, you bring your laughter too, we gonna celebrate this party for you. Why? Because once I celebrate you, then I turn to Keyshawn. Then we got Shalise. Oh, George Jefferson, boy. George Jefferson. Ow.
Look, I ain't going down that far. These like skinny jeans. These will be split skinny jeans. I have a whole new style, like right up there, like, right there, y'all will get to know me in a different way. And only my wife can. Hallelujah. I love you, girl.
Watch. Remember, I want two choirs. Everybody from the community, get up on this side of the wall. Get up on this side of the wall. All y'all people who Damon can't name, I want y'all at the party. Give somebody to play in the band. Somebody over here. We all gonna celebrate. And so you have your good times. You have your good times. You have your good times. We could have a party that lasts all year. If I said, now, Pastor Mike, what has God done for you? God did this. Hey, yeah, come on. Yeah, what'd he do for you, Charity? Oh, yeah, come on. Yeah, what'd he do for you, Lisa? Oh. What'd he do for you, Derek? Oh, the running man. Hey. And then just when you think it's starting to die down, you go, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because a Holy Ghost party don't. If you bring your good times and I bring my good times, our party's just getting started. And then I have to call my friend, girl, dude, you need to get over here. You need to get over here. They got the best stuff here. Everybody grew up in church? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought I had some people who were saved by his grace. You know what I'm saying? Or some people that might have been out last night. You know what I'm saying? But Disney's down the street. So, I don't know. I'm meeting y'all for the first time. Zayna graduated. I'm glad she at church. Saw that picture. I don't know, but his grace is sufficient. Let me talk to your other dad. Find out what happened. Watch 2 Timothy. It says this in verse 5. It says, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, when I called to remembrance, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother Eunice. I am persuaded that it's in you too. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that's in you that I gave through the laying on my hands. Son, all those gifts that you got in the closet, bring those out because I remember them and it's time for them to get going. Your grandmama had it. Your mama had it. They've been partying. Now you got to continue to party. He says, listen, you bring it with you so that everybody else can party. Call to remembrance what God's done. There are nations that will shut a whole day down just because it's a party. Do you know that there are silly holidays like National Ear Day? And we look and we go, such a silly holiday. Somebody else is going, I just need another reason to celebrate. Hey, my ears, my toes, everybody know. What I'm telling you is that if you can find the smallest reason, thank you, Lord, that I could hear, oh, that's a whole day. That's a whole day. I remember when I was in first grade and Miss Jackson called my name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in first grade. I remember in second grade when I can hear them going over the math problems. I remember in third grade when I was learning division. I remember in fourth grade when we called my name in PE. I remember my fifth grade. Do you see how you could go a whole day just on the fact that you can hear? I know that sounds really simplistic, but if you bring your good times. Y'all all right? Psalms 34 says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. What? And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. What? Nonstop? David, you have that much to say? Absolutely. Here's why. My soul shall make its boast. I'm going to talk about God. I got a list of everything that I need to tell about him. So inside, my soul is going down the list. When I was a shepherd boy, he pulled me out. When I faced Goliath, he pulled me out. When I was playing worship in the king's tabernacle, the king's temple, he was teaching me how to lead. I had a great friend named Jonathan who became my best friend. Saul tried to kill me, and I dodged him. I could have killed that joker, but God's grace said no. Man, every time people would look at me, and they would say, Saul killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. Every time I rolled into battle, I came back safe. I will always give him something to know that I love and appreciate him. I just can't stop talking about the man because it seems like every day of my life is a party. Y'all okay? I want y'all to just be looking at me now. Don't stare. So here's my final thing. Team, you can come back up. In order to celebrate all year, you have to let others celebrate with you. The reason why is because just in case you forget something, they can remind you. So bring your good time and your laughter too. We're going to celebrate this party with you. Come on and celebration. I can remind you that when you feel like it's the lowest point of your life, the party's still going on. Pull back into the closet, the good times. Bring those. And then the party gets started again. Hey, the DJ was just changing the track. That's all. He was just changing the track. Psalms 122 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, wait a second now. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. Oh, what's that? Oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a build as a city that is compacted together. Oh, snap. The walls were broken in Jerusalem. Now they're praising in the gates that were rebuilt. What? And it's all compacted together. When you and I come together, the party don't ever stop. So here's what I want to just end service with. I just want to declare to you. Watch now. God has shifted your season. Okay? And I'm just giving you what he wrote me. It's okay to celebrate. And what could have been the darkest times of your life, it's time to celebrate. Here's what the Bible says. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. What the devil would mean for evil, God wants to turn for good.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.